blades or heated handles, and that's why Harry's doesn't add gimmicky features to their razors. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just use Inside STL at Harry's.com. Harry's owns their own factory, and they've been churning out quality for almost a century. And it's not just the quality that I like. I can't get enough of the Easy Glide and Razor Close Shave. Harry's has an amazing offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code INSIDESTL at Harry's.com. That means you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code INSIDESTL at Harry's.com. Go to Harry's.com today. Use code INSIDESTL at checkout to claim your offer.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
No Frank.
Can't you hear a pitter-pat?
No beans.
And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet.
Frank and Bean.
On the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade.
Frank and Bean.
With those blues on the brain. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Crossed over. If I ever,
always love hearing Dan laugh.
So, what is that Frank and Beans thing about? Is that from a commercial or something?
No. From the movie There's Something About Mary. Yeah. When, what's her name, Dan?
Gwyneth Paltrow?
No.
Oh, Mary.
Yeah, what's Mary's name?
Mary.
No, what's her name in real life?
That was Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it
it's
was
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz had a special brother who wore a helmet and was a little slow.
Warren
and Ben Stiller had a scene in there where he zipped his zipper up and his testicles got on the wrong side of his.
They got above his
hammer.
Yeah. The mate. Yeah.
The testicles were on the wrong side of the hammer, so.
When the dad came in.
So Warren called it, break a base, break a base.
So how'd you get the balls above the bat?
I might have to rewatch that.
Yo gang's back here today, with the exception of the Grand Poobah, who, of course, is a little slow getting back from Vegas. Of course, Dan spared no expense and had all the expensive Woo-hoo! Energy to make it back in studio for your entertainment value this afternoon. I'm Tim Woodburn. Sitting in for Frank, usually I sit in with Frank, sitting in for Frank today, hosting the extra, extra, extra large morning show in the afternoon because I wear a 3X shirt and Frank only wears a large. So when he hosts, it's the large morning show. When I host, it's the extra, extra, extra large. And if I get any bigger, we're going to have to add another extra in there, and hopefully that won't happen.
Don't do it. No.
Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips is in the house.
Hello, Tim.
And,
hello, Dan.
And Daniel Limestone Strauss is in the house. You know, it was kind of a blah. Nothing really happened a whole lot weekend. You know, I mean, Dan went to Vegas and Limey came to Dan. Let me tell you what I did, because what I did was really, really something. No, I'm just kidding. We'll have in Frank's honor the Burke segment, and it goes a little something like this. Does anybody have anything to say?
No.
Oh.
No, not really.
Nah, I didn't think so. Let's close the Burke segment.
Nothing much going on.
Close it up. I'm gonna let Limey take the main stage here because what he really went through this past weekend is something special. It's a once in a lifetime thing. As you know, when I hosted the show Thursday, Limey was not here. Dan was not here. It was me and Bill Cleveland and David Solomon. Boy, doesn't that sound like Pujols, Edmonds, and Roland?
But exciting day.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we made it through it. Give it to me. Give it to me. I'm going to keep track of them.
Pujols had been
the MV3.
Oh, man.
The MV none. Limey was not here Thursday. He had pulled out at the last minute. After not pulling out the last minute a few months ago.
I was going to say something
been,
like that. I've
been
right
saving
on.
That joke yep. all day. I've been saving that joke all morning. I've been waiting to say that.
Got
to
use it.
So on Thursday, Limey said, now we made fun of your grammar a little bit, even though Rocchio was lambasting me during the break between shows here today. Right. Because I texted you on Thursday and I said, how's it going? And you said, we're trying to walk him out now. And I thought that meant that your girl gave birth and you're trying to walk him out of the hospital and I didn't understand the lingo walk him out now. No. So I texted you and you didn't text back, then I called you Thursday and I said, how's it going? No, you answered the phone like this. How's it going? I'm like, oh, you tell me. And I'm like, congratulations.
That's my generic greeting.
You're like, no, we're just trying to walk him out right now. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean walking out right now? I mean, walk him home. And you're like, no, you have to walk her around the hospital. I never heard of that.
Oh yeah, no.
So
he's supposed to help.
So Limey's last words to me on Thursday were, dude, can I thank you for letting me have the day off. The doctor says it's coming out today. It's coming out today, mate.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, that's fine. And then apparently that didn't happen, and things got a little funky, freaky Friday after that Thursday miscalculation of labor. So by all means, take it away.
Give
us the play-by-play.
Here is my Burke segment. So I spoke to you 11 a.m. on Thursday? Mm-hmm. All right, so Tim called me up, and I was like, you know, I can't come in today. And me and the missus were walking around Jefferson Barracks Park down there in South County because it's got a good trail. Some hills and whatnot, because as I said, we were trying to walk him out. And just to give you the term, when a woman is about to go in labor or you're trying to kind of bring on labor, you walk around a lot and that helps her pelvic bones move and her hips kind of spread as she gets ready so the child can then make her way down to the birth canal.
So why wouldn't you be walking her out around the hospital instead of way the hell over in JB Park?
Because, well, you can't actually do a decent loop at the hospital. So, and she wanted to be out there in nature. She wanted the trees and the nice cool air because she was, I mean, her hormones were going crazy. Her temperature was up there. She was constantly warm.
See the deer?
Yeah, we did.
See
actually.
Lots of deer.
Yeah, saw a lot of deer.
Mercy South is on Teson Ferry Road. There's plenty of places to walk right around there. I can't believe.
Are there parks really?
What if she went to labor at JB Park?
We're getting way off track.
Sorry.
Way off track.
That never happens on this show.
Way off track.
I'm sorry. Right. Proceed.
So we go back to my place after walking. I gave her some chili because, you know, spicy food, right? Probably should have put some.
Where are you learning these wise tales?
This is all on, like, just stuff
walking,
I picked up over
walking
the year.
Walking in chili induces labor?
Yeah, walking, chili, sex,
and, she's got the
and eating pineapple.
Every step.
Yeah.
Every step.
What's next? Hit her in the belly with a wiffle ball bat?
I mean, no, Lord.
Good Lord.
So, and at that point, she was really in a lot of pain. Like, the contractions were getting between 4 and 5 minutes, I think. And then as we got to the hospital, they were becoming even more frequent. So we went in. The doctor admitted her because she was in an incredible amount of pain. And then really we just started playing the waiting game. And she was in labor, I think. We got to the hospital. Let's just say she started going to labor around 12:30. He was born at 8 p.m. Friday night. And I'm talking 8 p.m. on the dot.
Let's see how Dan.
Really,
Dan. Let's add up how many hours it is. What was the first? What was the first hour?
12:30.
12:30 on Thursday, and she wasn't born until 8 p.m. on Friday. So that's 12 to midnight, and then
6 hours.
Midnight to 4.
Six hours.
Yeah,
wow. 6 hours. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I was getting bored. So they gave her this drug, I don't remember what it's called, and basically it's supposed to help induce the contractions and, like, you know, bring them on more rapidly so that she could dilate more and get ready for this baby to come out. That did not work. Like, she had the epidural as well, and it was just the combination of the two. I mean, bless her heart, she was having just a terrible, terrible time.
I remember texting you and asked how things were going. You said she's dilated to 6.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh,
We got up to, she finally got up, dilated up to 8, and at this point, she was just in tears. Yeah. Absolutely, like, she was in pure agony. So
what does 8 mean? 8 inches?
8 centimeters.
Centimeters.
Yeah, centimeters. Eight, okay. So like, 10.
Dan, show them what 8 centimeters looks like.
There you go.
Ooh. There we go. That's wow. Infection.
That's a lot.
So 10 is when the baby is on its way out. 10 centimeters, they're on the way out. So at this point, I'd had enough, and I kind of went up to the nurse's station, and I was like, that's it. She's at her limit. She's like, you know, peaked. We got to get this baby out. Let's wrap it up. And then within 10 minutes, she was in the operating room, and they were performing a C-section, a cesarean.
Oh, time out.
Yeah.
Time out. No. Mm-hmm.
You want to know why it's called a cesarean?
I got a few follow-up questions before we get to that.
Sure.
So you're in there. Mm-hmm. She's at 8 centimeters. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, how exactly does the conversation go, and between whom does the conversation happen when you go toward, I think it's coming out normal versus I think it's coming out the side door?
The doctor said that she would prefer for her to do it. Hang on a second. I got to get a sound effect ready. There we go. She wanted to do it proper way, which is the vagina. Vaginal way, right?
Right.
And, I mean, the doctor's right in most of these situations. So I was like, okay, we'll wait. You know, we'll push it off. And everybody was saying that, you know, this extreme amount of pain is normal. And it is. When a woman's giving labor, her pain threshold goes through the roof.
Did they give her an epidural?
Yeah, they did, but it wasn't working well?
It
was wearing off.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, her body was not handling these drugs well. They would give her an injection that would help with the pain or something.
Yeah.
I mean, with the contractions, and then 3 minutes later, she's throwing up, and the epidural was just wearing off. So I had kind of had enough. I was patient. I waited, and this is no slight on the doctors at all. We had no we had no issues. They were absolutely fantastic, but she had reached the limit. Enough was enough. She was in pain, and I was tired of seeing her like that. So I went up to the nurse's station. I saw the doc, and that's when I told him, like, come on, get him out. We're done. And then, as I said, within 10 minutes, we're in the operating room. She's having the C-section. We have this, like, she's got this towel in front of her face, or, like, this sheet.
Were you talking to her as the lift is occurring?
What
are you guys talking about?
Well, I was just not, honestly, we weren't really having a conversation. She was just kind of breathing, and I was just being like, this is incredible. You did a great job. Everything's going to be fine.
How long did it take?
The C-section?
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I'm talking...
Remember when Frank was talking about how his daughter was a C-section at the last minute? He's having a conversation with their wife, like, about what they're going to have for dinner that night or
well,
something.
Well, at this point, she was already exhausted, like, worn out, just done.
Are you
just
videotaping this?
No, I wasn't going to videotape
it. It used to be called, when they would do a C-section or something, or whatever, they would call it a saddle block.
A saddle block?
Yeah, it's called a saddle block, where they give them... the medication and stuff to numb everything, so they can't feel anything, but they're still awake.
And I mean, it was incredible. They wheeled us out. They gave me this weird outfit that kind of made me look like the Michelin Man, you know?
Oh yeah.
Keep me hygienic
sterile,
and all that.
Right.
And then we went in, and they had her all covered up, and they were getting ready, and the doctors and nurses just talking like normal, just carrying on, like, okay, do this, and then here we go. I'm sitting by her head, wondering, I wonder if I'm going to pass out. I wonder if I'm going to be one of those dads. And then all of a sudden, you just heard this baby cry, and out he comes. And the doctor held him up to the window so that we could both see. They brought him over to, like, the little station to clean him and everything. And they're just like, hey, Dad, here you go. And I got to cut the umbilical cord, which was really, really cool. It was really quite something.
What'd you cut it with?
Like these incredible pair of scissors. Like the umbilical cord, you might think, is just like this little skinny piece of tissue or something.
Mm-hmm.
No, imagine like a combination between rubber and leather.
Ooh.
Like this thing was pretty intense when it came to cutting.
Put together.
Through, right? Yeah, I mean, like, it was, okay, this boy was healthy. And then they wiped him down and went to weigh him and all that. And then while I was just kind of looking at her, just being like, are you okay? Everything's okay. He's absolutely gorgeous. I'm just kind of standing there also dumbfounded. The nurse bundled him up because they're pros at it. It takes like 3 seconds, and then just went, here you go, Dad, and just thrust him into my arms. I mean, for the past 9 months, sorry, carry on.
You held him first.
Then. Yeah, I held him first because she was numb, passed out, like arms dead beside her.
Are they scrambling to sew her back up as soon as they get him out?
Absolutely.
Okay. So all this is going on while you're cutting and holding.
Yeah, like they brought him out. They brought out the placenta, and then it was just right. Wipe the area, clean down. Let's get it stitched up and bandaged up and ready to go. And then the doctor was just, I mean, the nurse was just like, here you go, Dad. And I've been freaking out for the past 9 months or so. How am I going to hold this child? Is he going to be comfortable? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to hurt him? Am I going to hold him delicately enough?
Right.
Do I know what the hell I'm doing? Right. Like, am I ready for this?
Oh.
And in the space of about a second, she just went, here you go, Dad. Thrust him into my arms. And I just held him, and he was freaking out. He was absolutely freaking out because he'd just been born. And I started to talk to him, and he went quiet. And he just went quiet, and he was just there, just kind of chilling. And then they took me out of the room with him and put me in the little side waiting room so that they could bandage her up properly and do some tests to make sure that she's okay. And
how big was he?
7 pounds, 8 ounces, 19.5 inches long. Oh. He was born at exactly 8 p.m. October
25th. Wow.
And, awesome. And when Limey put the date of the birth on the Facebook page, for all the Britiots out there, he had to put, everybody meet my son Theo, born 10/25/19, and then in parentheses he put the British flag with 25/10/19.
Yeah. So there would be no mistake.
So
no
the Britiots would know what day he was born.
I mean, it was just like it. It was an incredibly dumbfounding experience. I mean, I'm trying to like the only way I can explain it is in those few seconds. I experienced fear, excitement, joy, pride, pretty much like the entire...
More fear?
Like, yeah, more fear.
Horny?
Everything. No, probably not that.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
And then next thing you know, we're walking back to the room and I'm wiping him down and like, you know.
So what's happened since then? What summarize Saturday, Sunday, and today?
Well, since then, because she had a C-section, they kept her in the hospital for 2 nights. She got released around noon this afternoon, today. I'm an idiot. And so.
Can she walk and stuff?
Oh, now she can walk, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now she can walk.
Can she sweep and mop and dust?
Is it dishes and all
no
that?
No comment.
She cook?
I am not getting into that conversation.
She bring you a beer?
This woman has just given me a child. She is not going to be worrying about housekeeping anytime soon.
Oh, wait. He sent me a text and told me. Well, first of all, he sends me a text with a picture of him with his mask on and the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were at the meet and greet. There was a meet and greet going on Friday night before Frank's daughter's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the picture, and I was running around showing it to everybody. And they were like, oh, Trevor, all the girls.
What the heck? Why did that go?
Oh.
Thing stuck right there. That's the sound effect. Yeah.
Because Dan was showing that, too.
He was showing your kid. And they're going, oh.
And all right, so now
do you cohabitate during the first period? Are you like still got your place? She got her place? Or how does the first weeks and days go for you?
They're both going to be staying with me for the next month or two.
Oh wow!
Because I really want to bond with my kid. I want him to know who I am and not get freaked out. He already knows my voice, so I want to make sure we still have that connection.
Well, she needs to get a job and start paying some rent then.
You want me to call her on that? I'll send
her a letter.
Absolutely not.
I'll have Scott Sherman
Do
send her a letter.
Do not call her on that. Retract that comment. She is just fine. She's hanging out with her mom right now, and she's probably going to spend her night with her mom because they're very close, and she's still exhausted. So I've got to catch up on some schoolwork because I just started this business law class while this is all going on.
Mm-hmm.
So while all family is coming over and meeting the baby, I had to take a freaking quiz failing this class already.
Oh, man.
Like,
failing?
I've got 50% in this class, Straight-A student here.
Oh, boy.
Failing. And business law. I don't know a thing about business law. It's completely different from the law we discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But no, right now she's probably just going to spend the night with her mom and just hang out and just sleep. I'm going to go by after work so I can see him, hang out, check up on her, see if she needs anything, and then it's all good.
Is she able to lift the baby?
Yeah. She can lift the baby, but nothing above 10 pounds. At least not for the next 2 weeks.
She can lift a baby. She can lift a frying pan. And she can lift a pot of water. She can make you some dinner. I'm just saying. Don't give me this. You can lift the baby, but you can't lift my dinner, okay? Whatever.
God above.
All right. But otherwise, the overall experience is
incredible.
Because I got to tell you, when you were in here last Wednesday and that was the day before Frank left. Like, Frank's last day in the studio was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, I sit here right across from you every day. You were somewhere else. I mean, you were just out of it, man. There was beads of sweat on your head.
Yeah.
of sweat on your head. You kept looking up at the clock. You must have looked at the clock 5,000 times. Is it six yet?
Yeah.
You did not want to be here because she was going through the snowball had just started rolling down the hill.
I think they call it at that point pre-labor. Like, contractions had started, but they were still way, way, way far apart. Like, maybe 8 or 9 minutes apart. So we were nowhere even close to it being started. But, I mean, when a baby is being born, you know, I mean, there's no set schedule. There's no, all right, it's going to be exactly like this. It's just, all right, whatever the heck you want.
Frank is on the phone.
So, real quick, I want you to pub this.
You're gonna keep Frank on hold. Wow. Oh,
Frank can sit and wait. He's like, we'll put him on Londoff time. Theodore Christopher Phillips, and where can listeners reach out to you on Facebook and see a photo of this baby?
Oh, it's up on the Frank Opinion Facebook page.
Oh, should we go?
I think it's Frank Opinion and the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Yeah. Should we go to traffic first before we get to Frank?
Do not go. He's going to kill you. All right, here we go.
All right, it's 33 after the hour, and joining us, I assume somewhere between Las Vegas and Wildwood, or parts unknown. You might have heard this guy. He's on our air every once in a while. He participates in the show. He doesn't really say a whole lot. Frank Opinion.
Thank you. actually, still in Las Vegas. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, loud and clear.
What?
Okay, just a couple of observations here. I have the app on, and by the way, folks, the app, crystal clear, anywhere in the world. I have the app on, and allow me two things. One, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
Second, you didn't even text me. You sent a text to Dan, like I'm a dad, and nothing to me. Nothing.
I'm sorry.
I'll talk. No, don't talk. That hurt my feelings. But here's the thing I've noticed. I've been listening, and this is really interesting to me. Here's what you said. You're talking about her, the mother, and she's the one having the baby, and you actually said these words. So I was starting to get bored, and I was getting tired, and I'd had enough.
that was out of context.
Hold on. My wife was listening too, and she goes, "What? I was joking. No, you weren't joking.
I was joking. That was the joke when Tim said that she was in labor for 6 hours and I had enough. I was adding on to the joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. I think you probably were tired. You were tired of waiting. You had enough. You wanted to get on with it. And I get all that. And here's the other thing that it kills me to say. In only half an hour of what I've heard, this show is better without me.
That is not the case.
It is true. And it kills me, and I don't like that. So dial it back a little and don't be quite as entertaining, because I still need a job for a while. So, Tim, good job. Limey, good job. Dan, I was thrilled that you were able to go and you were able to get back to work, and I will continue to listen because I want to hear Dan's exaggerated report of the wedding. So I'll be listening. Limey, congratulations. This is the greatest thing, Limey, that will ever happen to you.
Thank you. It really is the greatest thing ever.
Congratulations, Tim. Good job.
And Frank, I'm out. Frank, I know you're open late tonight. Give him the number.
That number is 855-282-8255. I'll be with you guys tomorrow. I'll see you. Goodbye.
Bye. I did not say I'd had enough.
Yeah,
I think you did.
I mean, I did, but I was adding on to the joke. I'm sitting there going, geez, this gal's having an emergency C-section, and Limey's crabbing about how tired he is. I'm like, but, you know, I already thought I'd give you
enough
crap.
Way to make me look bad.
Well, I already thought I'd kind of given you your max load of crap, so I was kind of done, but leave it to Frank to pile on.
I know, thank God.
Thank God for Frank, because, you know, otherwise I was kind of tired of piling on. I mean, it was...
I knew what you meant, but it didn't come out. I had had enough. I was tired, and I went to the nurse and said, let's get this thing out.
Okay, no.
The only thing, I kept waiting for you to say, this gal's starting to pee me off. I wish she'd get this kid out. God, this is really starting to annoy me. I'm getting tired.
You are taking it all out of context.
This is past my bedtime.
This is not cool.
All right.
I'd had enough of seeing her in pain and being uncomfortable, so that was when I was like, time out. We're done.
Are we done with the birth segment?
The birth segment.
Pretty much. She's a strong, healthy little baby boy.
Up next on the birth segment is Dan Levi Strauss. And Dan, for those of you that aren't regular listeners of the show, went to Las Vegas this past weekend to participate, I think, in some way, shape, or fashion, in the marriage of Frank Opinion's daughter, Amanda, and her wedding, which was in the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. So I would love to hear an exaggerated play-by-play. First of all, did Frank do anything dumb? Let's just jump on him first. Did he do anything dumb or wrong? Did he fall while he was dancing with his wife, or say something stupid, or spill something on himself? Did he do anything bad that we can make fun of him about for forever?
No. I'll try and make something up because
we'll do that at least.
Because I have to tell you, this wedding was perfect. I mean, it couldn't have gone off any better because I'm telling you, the weather was absolutely tremendous. It was probably 70 degrees, 72 degrees, perfect temperature, no wind. And right before everyone started walking down the aisle, there were probably 10 to 15 Air Force helicopters that flew across the sky right over us, and we thought they were going to keep coming, but they didn't. But I thought that was kind of cool. It was coincidence.
I mean, what do you mean no wind? Was this an outdoor wedding?
Yes.
Oh.
It was an outdoor.
I thought it was in the hotel.
Oh, no, it was outdoor.
Well, then you need to describe it better.
Outdoor wedding at the pool, in the pool area.
Okay.
One of the pool areas at the MGM Grand, because the MGM Grand is, like, massive, just incredibly large.
Mm-hmm.
But the wedding went off without a hitch.
Daytime or nighttime wedding?
Nighttime wedding.
All right.
Yes. Frank did not tear up or cry because he had a big smile on his face when he was walking Amanda down. I don't know if he teared up when he saw her for the first time to walk her down the aisle, come out. But it went great. And Amanda was funny. She's the funny opinion.
Mm-hmm.
She's the funny.
Oh yeah, and they were doing their wedding vows, and Dan, you could tell Dan, her new husband, was a little nervous, and he said, "I do." And then the preacher asked, "I didn't participate. I couldn't do. They wanted me to perform the wedding, but I couldn't do it because of Clark County. You have to be licensed in Clark County in Vegas to do it." So this guy did it, and he did a great job. But he asked Amanda, he did the whole, you know, the wedding vows, and then he says, and she goes, "All right," like that.
Nice.
I guess.
All right. Oh man, that was funny.
Yes, this is the best I can do.
It was really funny. And then the reception, we walked like probably 10 to 15 miles across the MGM.
15 miles?
Through the MGM. That's what it felt like.
Why wasn't it right next to the venue?
It was at another pool. there was another pool at the MGM, and the person said, follow me to the reception. So we kept going. And
how many
kept
people?
Going. It was like 95 to 100
wow.
people.
Wow.
And they, and even in the MGM, they have those, you know, those people movers like they have at the airports, the walkers, like they're like an escalator, but there's no steps, no stairs. They just move.
And the walking, the running floors.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So they had several of those between one pool and the other pool because it was so
how
far.
Long of a walk was this?
Oh, I'm telling you, it was quite a walk.
Like a workout?
Oh, wait, yeah.
And Amanda had to walk this far in her wedding dress?
I guess, unless they got her in a one of those little golf carts. They probably should have taken him in a golf cart.
Wow.
I think they had to take Frank in a golf cart because he couldn't.
Golf carts and weddings are fun.
Take Frank in a golf cart. Did Frank, when he walked Amanda down the aisle, did he have to suck it in to get in that black gangster outfit he was bragging about he was going to wear?
Oh.
Or did he fit in it like a snug sausage, or was there some room to...
You know how you see how sausage is made?
Yeah. You got to squeeze the meat into the liner, you know?
I have to tell you, Frank looked pretty spectacular in his tuxedo.
It was all black, right? Head to toe, right?
Yes.
All right.
As far as I know, I mean, I'm colorblind for the most part.
All right.
So it looked black to me.
You make this cross country walk.
Yeah, make the cross country walk to the reception.
And what happens there? Frank's probably arguing with the DJ about what songs are going to be played, and the cake's over off to the side. And did you guys eat first, or was there a spread, or what?
We did eat. We had.
Was it a sit down meal, or was it like a buffet?
It was like a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a sit down meal. A lot of finger food, but oh man,
buffets at weddings.
They had these little tacos, these little beef tacos, that were And I hate this term, to die for. Oh, man.
To die for.
They were incredible.
Like Jack in the Box tacos?
No.
Like the greasy?
No, those mini tacos? Oh, no. Nothing like that.
Yeah?
Nothing like that. The food was absolutely tremendous. And then Frank got up and did a speech. And
how was it?
Did he choke up?
No, he didn't choke up.
Mm-hmm. Did he try to make people laugh, or was he serious?
He did make people laugh.
All right.
The thing that kills me about Frank is, and I know if he's listening on the app, but the thing that kills me about Frank is he has tremendous stage fright. So he will physically, almost physically get sick before he gets up on stage. And he's asked me several times, can you come up on stage with me?
Mm-hmm.
And, but what he needs to understand, and what he doesn't understand, I don't think, is that when he gets up on stage, he owns the audience, and but he's afraid of failure and afraid that somebody's not going to laugh. But the speech was...
Well, we do that all the time.
I know. The show.
Why would that be any different?
No, I know. The show's a failure, so...
I mean, we only laugh at about one out of every four things he says anyway.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's like,
no,
why would this be any different?
No,
he's used to it. He's used to it.
We're grooming him.
He's used to silence when he says something funny.
I know.
So go ahead.
So he gets up and he does a great speech, and there was some jokes in there. There was some fun stuff and some funny stuff and a little seriousness. You don't want to get too crazy serious, but and then Amanda actually got up and spoke, and she did tear up a little bit, and then Dan, her new husband, he got up, he spoke, and he was afraid that he was the one that was going to go blubbering and going all teary-eyed and crying and everything, and he did a good job. So
I have some questions.
Yes.
And I'm sure Limey does, too. We'll go back. I'll do a question, you do a question. Limey, because I know you're bursting with questions, and so am I.
I am bursting with questions.
I have to know, at what point, I know it happened, at what point did the Dan Strauss tuxedo shirt come out, and how exactly and when exactly was it unveiled, and what was Frank Weiss' reaction? It's a three-part question.
Some stones.
The tuxedo shirt did make an appearance.
Mm-hmm. When?
It was Friday night at a meet and greet.
Uh-huh.
There was a private party, a meet and greet,
mm-hmm.
and I actually wore a shirt over it to cover it up.
Like a regular shirt?
Yes,
okay.
Just a regular shirt over it, a button-up shirt, and then I unbuttoned it.
In front of who?
In front of, it was Amanda and whoever else was around there.
Yeah.
And I took it off, took that shirt off, and the tuxedo shirt was there. I went over and had a picture taken with Frank's wife.
My God.
What did she say when she saw it?
She didn't say anything. And she just smiled, and I think it was okay, because I had dark pants on with it, so I didn't have jeans. I had dark pants, and it actually kind of looked good.
So did you let it stay on the rest of the night?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it was on the rest of the night.
Right.
And Amanda definitely wanted a picture with it, with me with the shirt on. Mm-hmm. So we did that.
Explain to the listeners, for those who don't know, I've seen it. But explain exactly what it is and why Frank's wife hates it.
It's just a T-shirt. Like, you just buy a regular T-shirt mm-hmm. anywhere at any store.
Mm-hmm.
But it's black, and mm-hmm. on the front of it, it looks like you're wearing a tuxedo.
Like buttons down.
Yeah, it has a button down shirt. It has the bow tie. It has a jacket.
Is it short sleeve? I forgot.
Yes, it is short sleeve.
So it's almost a borderline wife beater.
Yes.
Nice.
So you have a short sleeve shirt, and I was just looking at the pictures today, and I thought, wait a minute, they should come up with one of these in a long sleeve version. and then on the end of the sleeve have a little white showing, like with the, and they may have them like that, but I think they should have something like that. That would be great. And then but I took another shirt to the wedding.
Did Frank's wife smile at the photo that you took standing next to her?
Yes,
or was it like kind of a glare?
She did. I'll show you. There's a couple of different photos, I'll show you.
Because I would have had five on glare.
No, she didn't. No, she smiled.
All right.
She did smile. So everything turned out great, and that's when I got the picture of Limey and his baby.
Yeah.
And that's why Frank's mad.
Which I would like to apologize again, Frank, because I know you're still listening. I took the picture, and I opened up my phone to text my mom and my little sister. And, of course, Dan had texted me earlier in the day, so I saw his picture, like his name there. So I just went down the list, and I didn't have a text from Frank recently, so that's why I didn't remember to send a text to Frank.
Let me speak up on your behalf here, okay? Because Frank is not a extensive phone. I don't know how many phone conversations or text exchanges you've had with Frank, but they're usually pretty short and sweet. Frank's not a... Let's gossip about the golf over the weekend or the weather. Or how's it going? Frank's pretty much, hey, how's it going? This is Frank. This is what I want. Okay, nice talking to you. Bye. Click. Right?
Right.
Let me tell you what would have happened if you'd have sent Frank a picture of your kid, right? You'd have sent Frank a picture of your kid, and Frank would have sent you a one-word response. Thanks.
Or cute.
That's like, what it would have been.
Cute.
Hey, Frank, here's my son. Okay.
No. Here's my son. K.
Hey Frank, here's my new son Theo. So, will you be in the studio Monday? I'm sorry, I hogged all the questions for Dan. I know you have questions about the weather.
I've got a lot of questions.
Well, I have a couple more.
Okay, hopefully this will answer all of my questions.
Right after his speech, he said, "We'll just get this over with." And he got up and danced with his wife on the dance floor. They owned the dance floor.
What song?
People were around. What song was it? It was Love is a Wonderful Thing.
Roxanne?
Roxanne.
Right.
By the Police. It was Love is a Wonderful Thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So they danced Love is a Wonderful Thing. And then the father-daughter dance was... Thank Heaven for Little Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who did that.
They practiced.
They had.
Oh, Frank and his daughter practiced?
Frank and his daughter had an entire dance.
Wow.
For the father daughter dance.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
But the DJ went over and he came out and he says, "Oh, we're going to have a slight intermission or a slight delay because Frank and his daughter came out with shoes that had lights on the bottom,
ooh,
on the soles, and they lit up.
I saw it on the video. They looked really cool, actually.
Lit up the dance floor, and they came out and did their dance, the father-daughter dance. So I remember when Frank was talking last week or whatever about different things or weird things that happen at a wedding
that
you have that you can talk about for the forever, like somebody falls or somebody falls into the cake.
Somebody
or
drops happens. The cake, right?
Yeah, yeah, something happens. Nothing happened. Sandy and I were talking. It was like, this was like the perfect, this is a wedding we've been to that was like a perfect wedding. It was everything just kind of went as planned, and it was just like a great wedding and a great party afterwards.
Good.
So, yeah, you can't say anything. It's like, man, I could try and make some stuff up.
No, I don't want you to do that.
I will say that Dan's family, I love Dan's family, and
so here comes the butt.
No, I do. I love Dan's family. Found out that his dad's best friend is a guy that I grew up with and went to school with, and then his wife. Oh. His wife.
Shocking.
Also, I went to school with his sister and everything. But so that was crazy. And they, when I, they were saying they wanted the tuxedo shirt at the wedding reception.
Did you auction it off?
No. They wanted me to be wearing it.
Oh, they wanted.
They wanted a return.
They wanted to see more.
A return visit of the tuxedo shirt.
Well,
we still got Thanksgiving and Christmas to go, so
yeah.
Maybe you'll get an invite to one of those. So I have to ask a follow-up question about the dance, because Frank talked about this, ballroom dancing with his wife. I mean, how long has he been doing this now? For a year?
He's seven or eight months.
That's it? Yeah. I thought it was before Christmas last year. Least. He started taking lessons. All right. Well, you know, I mean, just be blunt. He's not here to smack you down. How good was it, really? I mean, because he... To his credit, and hey, Yogi Berra said it, it ain't bragging if you can do it.
Okay.
How good was it?
And I'll tell you, my qualifications are this.
Like an Olympic judge?
Yes. My qualifications are that my mother was the president of the Imperial Dance Club.
Ooh.
And also a dance instructor.
Wow.
And I got into several contests. One, I danced with my mom in a contest.
That's good.
And another one, I won a trophy with my sister in a dance contest. And it was all swing dance and Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
But Frank and his wife are very good on the dance floor.
Now, does she wear pants or a dress?
No, she wore a dress.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah, she had a dress. But they actually are very good. And I think he's been bitten by the dance bug because they both really, really like it and want to continue dancing.
Hmm.
So, and it's fun. It is fun, and it's great exercise.
But when you're that good of a dancer, or when you have people that have been like practicing for a long time, everybody else at the wedding just kind of shows up, you know, just kind of shakes their blubber, like my family. Do you have to kind of clear the floor to kind of let them do their thing, or was everybody out there doing their thing, and then they were out there doing their thing as well, or what was the breakdown of that?
You gotta give them time to kind of like show off their stuff first, don't you? And I mean, you know, once I don't know what am I trying to think here? Once you've set the stage, I guess is the right term. You've let people know.
How did everybody else know when they could get onto the floor then, is what I'm asking. I mean, was there a sign? It's like, you know, did they take a bow? Or, I mean, it was like, hey.
No, the song, they just danced to that entire song.
Okay.
And then after that, after the song was over, people just got up and danced.
Got it.
I think they did the
hang on a second. I don't mean to
mother,
be rude there.
Son.
Come on.
Yes.
But did you just hear that slight, very faint throat clearing sound in the background as Dan was talking?
No.
Do you know who that was?
Yes.
Josh Bauman.
That was Josh Bauman.
God.
He's sitting at the back of Dan's studio.
He's clearing his throat. It's not even
just
his segment.
His throat. And now he's coming here to defend himself.
Oh my God.
No, I will say, I have been tested and I do not have whooping cough.
Well, you don't. He sent me a text to try and make me feel bad and said, yeah, I have whooping cough.
Does he clear his throat when he texts? Does he say,
I'm going to start.
Yeah. Dan, I'll be late to the studio today. See you in about 20 minutes.
U-U-H-H-H.
God. Josh, I'm already going to have to start keeping track of your phlegm.
Did you actually go to the doctor?
Yeah, no, seriously, I did.
What did he say?
They didn't think I had whooping cough, but they had to swab me, which if you've never had a nasal swab done,
it's not fun.
That is a fantastic experience.
It's invasive. It is very invasive.
It feels like they take every nose hair you have and yank them out all at once. It burns for about 35 seconds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Great. No, but I was tested for whooping cough, and I am negative.
He doesn't have whooping cough, what, but he does have tuberculosis.
Just post-nasal. That's horrible, Dan. Just post-nasal drip. That's all.
Post-nasal drip.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
All right.
He'd be called plumber. Somebody get a plunger out for that.
I do have a story, and probably will take... Well, it'll take a little longer.
What was that?
That was Josh moving his microphone.
It sounded like you're closing the birthday.
Turn your microphone off, Josh.
Here, I'll turn it off.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Dan, for that disrespect.
He's like a wrecking ball in there.
He is. If you want to talk to John on the phone, I do have another story.
Well, let's hear your story. We'll save John.
No, this story will take longer than...
4.5 minutes?
Yes.
Oh,
all right. Yeah. Give it a drum real quick then.
Okay. We'll get to John here on 590 The Fan, 55 after the hour. You're listening to the Extra, Extra, Extra Large Morning Show in the afternoon without Frank Opinion. He'll be back tomorrow. John, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, AM and the PM, always.
Thank you, sir.
And Limey, congratulations to fatherhood. It's
thank
awesome.
You very much, John. Thank you.
You'll love it every step of the way up to teenage years and even beyond. It's great. My C-section story, same thing. They had the kind of a drape or something at my wife's neck, so I couldn't see what was going on the other side.
Right.
They gave her a little bit too much, not anesthesia, but painkiller, whatever it is they give her. It kind of went up into her lungs, so she was having trouble breathing and swallowing. No. And so I'm trying to take care of her and calm her down, and the baby's born. So I'm going back and forth from her to the baby. Well, when I turned around, I stepped on the wrong side of the curtain. So I was looking at the gaping hole in my wife's stomach, and they had like all of the insides kind of laying on a tray right there. And I made the comment to the doctor. I said, are you going to fix that? Because that wasn't like that when I came here.
Are you going to fix that?
You got some, man.
And you put that stuff back in?
Yeah, right.
You know what it's like? It looked like if you would have gave it like a little tweak, it would have just wound itself back into the stomach. It was weird. But,
I didn't even hear that.
Like a power cord? No. Going back into a...
Oh, kind of
on the second, my second child...
That's like a Hallmark moment.
The second baby that was born, the drapery was kind of drooping and coming down.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see on the other side of that drape. So I was almost nose to nose to my wife. She goes, what are you doing? I said, the drape is falling. I don't want to see that again.
It's traumatizing.
It is. It is. All of a sudden, there's no baby there. And then the doctor just goes, here you go.
I had a human. I had a cousin my cousin had a C-section in Merseyside Hospital, right where your wife gave birth, and she had a C-section, and he videotaped it, and then he created like this soft music montage of photos of the entire birth process of all of what John just described occurring, and in to go visit her, and there's this laptop
John,
that's sitting up, and there's this montage like memories, and it was just gross screen after gross. It was like
as they wheel her in, and then they lay her down on the bed. Yeah. She's getting ready, and then all of a sudden it goes into Metallica.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly. John's at it.
That's it.
All right,
guys.
Thank you for the phone call.
Have a great day, sir.
Speaking of John, John Landoff will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. Josh Bauman will be doing Tech Talk coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And either in the next hour or in the 5 o'clock hour, there were three things that occurred at the World Series game last night in Washington, D.C. Three things that occurred. And I'm 50 years old, and I've been a baseball fan for about 45 years. I have never seen any of these three things happen ever in a baseball game, and all three of them happened last night. All three of them involving fans that were attending the game that I have never seen in a baseball game my entire life. So we'll either squeeze that in the 4 hour or in the playhouse hour, and we'll have some fun with that. So, Trevor, once again,
Where are the photos of this baby? Because I know we kind of rushed through that.
If you want to go into Facebook, I believe you can just type in Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Mm-hmm. I don't have my hang on.
I think it's facebook.com/AM in the PM. We'll have Trevor's baby, Theo, is on there. Yep. And we have a video of Frank dancing with his wife and a video of Frank dancing with his daughter.
Nice. And I've been updating the news during this entire 3 o'clock hour. So we'll have news, weather, traffic, sports, John Londoff, Josh Bauman. And your phone call's coming up. It is 4 o'clock on 590 The Fan.
This is Martin Kilcoin. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com. St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. A suspect is under arrest in connection with a mass shooting in North Texas. The Hunt County Sheriff's Office says Brandon Gonzalez was captured today. He's accused of killing two people and wounding at least six others during a weekend party in Greenville. No word on a motive. House Democrats are plotting the next steps toward the possible impeachment of President Trump. NBC reporter Garrett Hake has the latest from Capitol Hill.
This would allow the deposition transcripts, all these closed-door depositions, nine of them are up to now, more than 70 hours. This would authorize the release of those transcripts.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that the House will take a vote Thursday that establishes the procedure in the ongoing impeachment inquiry. Pelosi says it will set the stage